they talk about me, they don't see the human spark, the creativity.
Sounds like a very pretty voice, right? Or at least the beginning of a beautiful voice in a song. But would you believe me if I told you that voice is actually not a real person? No, it is not. That is the voice of Tilly Norwood. Now, if this is a name that sounds familiar to you, it probably does, because in the last week, there's been a lot of news coverage about the first AI-generated actress being featured in a movie. And I asked my intern, Rhea, from UConn, if she could do a little digging into this, because as you can imagine, actors, actresses, people in the music industry, people really in the art industry and entertainment industry are kind of furious about this, or very unsure about this here in America, because if we're going to start making AI-generated actors, you know, it begs the question, to what end? And Rhea did a lot of digging. And actually, Rhea, you found out that, we'll talk about actors and what they have to say about it, but this is not the first time we've seen an AI-generated movie or actors, right?
Yeah. In 2024, there was a film made by, it was more of like an indie film. It wasn't really released to the public in like theaters and stuff. But it was released in 2024. It's called The Last Screenwriter, and it is basically a movie where the entire script and like screenplay is written by a prompt that the team put into ChatGPT.
Oh.
They were not allowed to change anything about the writing of the script. They were only allowed to shorten it. And yeah, I watched it. It was really interesting.
You did? You watched it?
Yeah.
What did you think about it? First of all, I think the number one thing, again, I've not watched what you're talking about, and I didn't even know who Tilly Norwood was until you brought it to my attention. But the one thing that I think cinema does so well is that human connection, which I just don't know how basically a robot can do that. What was sort of your sense watching that 2024 film?
All of the characters and like their character arcs were also developed by the chatbot, ChatGPT, and it did feel like it was a robot impersonating like a very typical like story arc, and there was no like plot twist. Like, you could kind of tell where the film was going. I think it was like an attempt to make like a psychological kind of thriller, because the plot was like that the screenwriter was realizing that he wasn't as good as the AI screenwriter.
That's very Black Mirror. Which Black Mirror, if anybody's ever watched that show, they did an AI, but it's different, and it starred Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek. She's well known in that show, I should say, and she is an actress. This is so, we're going down a rabbit hole, but she's an actress in the episode of Black Mirror. And they make an AI version of her, and she doesn't make any of the money because it's a robot version of her, essentially. But that was that episode. But what you're explaining with this movie is, again, kind of this multidimensional, where they couldn't do better than if AI were to create the script, essentially. Is that what
yes,
I'm understanding?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
But that's weird, though, because as a watcher, did you feel that there was a huge difference? You know, when you have professional writers creating these incredible scripts for movies or television shows versus if ChatGPT made it, right? I mean, did it feel as a viewer that it was very clear that this was made with AI?
Yeah, I mean, when you prompt things into AI to make like a story or things like that, it will do it literally scene by scene. And there was, in a span of like 5 to 10 minutes, the setting would change rapidly. It would go from his living room to they're out at a party to like he's in a meeting with his like screenwriting boss. And
it just speaks to our ADD as a society. Like, just keep jumping around, instant gratification. We only have brains like a goldfish. You know, every 30 to seconds to a minute, it's changing.
Yeah.
That's wild. That would overwhelm me.
It was
a lot.
It was. So, yeah, it was very quick pace and very like, the story plot developed like very quickly. It was only about an hour and 20 minute long film.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part that concerns me so much. And again, Rhea is our intern for the summer. She studies at UConn broadcasting journalism. And we came across this story that was a national story, but certainly is tied to Connecticut because I don't know about you, Rhea, but I love to go to the movies. And this idea of having an AI generated actress as the main role of a film. What's the name of the film?
The film is called Misaligned.
Okay. Do you know when that's coming out?
I do not know. They're being very like brief and like they're kind of just teasing the movie right now.
Okay.
But
actors are responding to this yes. ever since the news broke, right? Mm-hmm. What did you find?
So Chris Pratt had very strong emotions about it. He said that he name dropped Tilly Norwood, which is the AI actress that's starring in the film. And he was like, I've never seen her in a movie. And so I'm not really threatened by her. And then other actresses and actors have also commented on it. But this response is very strong from actors and actresses that this AI bot can't really mimic human emotion.
Mm. And I know that, Rhea, when you heard about this, you know, you and I obviously reacted maybe it seems very archaic or old school. I think there is a place for AI, and actually joining us in a little bit, we're going to have an AI expert join us to, you know, weigh in on this conversation because I think it's really fascinating and it's not all one size fits all. But the idea, again, of character development, there is no character development if it's an AI generated actor. And I think that's a big deal. You know, we just brought up Schitt's Creek before. And I think what made that show brilliant personally was that the first season actually to me felt very slow. I almost bailed on it so many times. But the first season is all character development so that the next four or five seasons, however many there were stellar because now you have an emotional connection mm-hmm. to these characters and their backgrounds and their stories and everything that the rest of the show was absolutely flawless. And so when you take that out, I just don't see where people in the audience, unless the point is like that Black Mirror episode that we see that you can only go so far with AI. If you don't have that emotional connection, that can never be replaced. Unless that's the point of this movie, which I don't know with Tilly Norwood, I can't see where it's like, I think it's going to hit a point where, you know, in arts and entertainment, we need more than just, hey, we cut costs and we made this amazing movie and CGI and all that. You spoke to people about this. I mean, you and I kind of felt the same way that we weren't buying the whole AI thing. But what seemed to be the reaction from people you spoke to?
They definitely were hesitant. Almost everyone that I talked to they were not a fan of it. I was able to talk to people from all different generations. So it was very interesting to hear that all of them were kind of united in not being open to having AI in art.
Yeah, you had a Gen Z, millennial, and Gen X, and overwhelmingly, they weren't buying it. Take a listen.
Maybe it could help out in some ways, but for the most part, I'm very against it.
Oh, I don't think I would like that. No, if I'm going to an art gallery, I want to see real art. Mm. I don't want to see AI-generated art.
Probably not. Not mm-hmm. a fan of AI.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think there's something to be said, which is why it's great that we're going to have an AI expert join us in the next part of this break. We are talking about this story of an AI-generated actress being featured in a film. We don't know when, but already a lot of response, obviously from actors, but also just from the public, what the idea behind this is. And is it to prove a point that, yes, AI has a place in society, but you still can't replace people in some regard? Or is this the future? There has been a lot of noise surrounding the emergence of an AI-generated actress starring in an upcoming film called Misaligned. Now, we don't know when that movie will be showing in theaters near us, but we already have opinions on it. But let's talk to an expert in this realm of AI. Joining us on the show for the first time is Brian McElwee, who is an AI consultant and technology strategist. Brian, welcome to the show. What do you think about this Tilly Norwood story?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's definitely an interesting story, but you know, I think one thing to point out is this is really a continuation of a long-term technological arc. If you think about it, I mean, you know, this is not all that different in kind from CGI, for example, which we've had for quite a while.
Mm.
you know, going back to the 1980s, 90s, early 2000s. And now it's commonplace to have, you know, thousands and thousands of CGI, that is computer generated imagery, special effects in films. And, you know, so to some extent, this is really, I think, just a continuation of that existing trend. And, you know, I think there's a lot of hype, certainly around AI. There tends to be a lot of strong feelings. People a lot of times view it as either all good or all bad. And I think the reality tends to be a lot more complicated and nuanced.
So I agree with you. I think we are way too black and white as a society in general, to be honest. And I'm right there with you, Brian. I think differently, though, than, and I'm just going to push back a little bit, if you don't mind. The only thing I would say is, you know, yes, I thought a lot about CGI and kind of how there was a lot of pushback on that for a very long time. You know, how do you go from how we used to do films to now? So, for example, I'm a Disney nut, just so you know. I know you're just meeting me, but just so you know, huge Disney nut. I loathe the amount of CGI that they've had to use now in these live actions. To me, I'm like, come up with new stories. I hate that they're doing the live actions. Like, it's one thing to do a Beauty and the Beast, use a little CGI. I get it. That's fine. But like, you look at a Lion King or a Jungle Book, all CGI, the entire thing. And I'm like, I wasn't a fan of them. I just think, you know, come up with new stories. I just stick to what you know. Stop doing it. So I agree with you. There's always going to be kind of this pushback, if you will. But CGI is now a norm. The only difference I would say, though, is look at an Avatar, for example. CGI, brilliant. I mean, you've brought these places to life. It's amazing. But would I replace the main actors like, you know, in Avatar? Would I replace them with AI? No, I think they, you know, I can get over the CGI portion of Avatar, but I don't know if I could get over the AI main actors. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you definitely raise a good point. And the quality of the output from an LLM or an AI varies greatly depending on, you know, a number of factors, including how you prompt it and how the user collaborates with the AI. And so if if someone, you know, just sort of asks ChatGPT to create a character and a whole story arc and all of the dialogue and just let ChatGPT do it, I think we're very likely to end up with a bunch of AI slop that no one feels, you know, is compelling and engaging. But if we have human collaborators, so actual filmmakers, actors, actresses, you know, production folks that are have experience and ideas and vision, and they are using AI as a tool to help tell the story, I think you get much different results in that case.
Well, so it's funny, Brian, and again, Brian McElwee is here, and he's an AI consultant and technology strategist, and we're talking about this idea of an AI-generated actress in a, you know, motion picture. I don't know when it's coming out, but we were very fascinated by this. So it's interesting because when I was thinking about the idea of AI-generated, to your point, I don't think it's all black and white. I think, okay, I don't want people to be out of a job, and I'm not even thinking the main actors. You know, like, there's always going to be, our intern brought up Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt not going anywhere. The guy's going to make zillions of dollars. He's always going to be a great actor. Like, I mean, unless he does something that gets him canceled, he's going to be fine. I don't worry about them. But, you know, there are people who get their starts being extras, for example. Are they in jeopardy of having jobs? Probably. You know, so there's that side of it. But it's interesting, to your point, I think if you can figure out a way to use it as a tool versus not, you know, I think about with animation, you know, those actors are voice actors. So you can make the same argument. Oh, like, I'm competing with AI. Sure. But I mean, that people started to do voice acting because maybe they weren't going to make it on screen, but you could use my voice to pair with a character. I mean, to me, that is kind of comparable to using AI generated, you know, tools, for example, to make a motion picture film or to make a show, what have you.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, technology can automate parts of the process, but I don't think it can or is likely to replace things like taste and judgment and empathy and emotional resonance and, you know, human authenticity. I think that's always something that's going to resonate with people. And if an AI character can't deliver on that, I don't think it's going to it's going to be much of an issue. You know, the question is our audiences going to get better products and better entertainment, better stories, better music? Do we get better choice? Do we, you know, are more voices heard? Do more people have the opportunity to create and share their vision with this? And, you know, so it really depends on how the users collaborate to create something rather than handing the reins over and letting AI do all the work, if that makes sense.
It does. Here's my question, Brian, and it might be a $1 million question, so feel free to say I have to table this. But at what point does the ball drop, though? So, you know, going back to my example of Black Mirror and Annie Murphy playing an actress who then has her identity used in an AI way and she doesn't make any money back. At what point does either ChatGPT, for example, start charging people for using the platform for free and just, again, putting more and more information into it? Like, at what point does it kind of hit us in the face that it's like, oh, wait, this isn't just kind of this, you know, all, you know, accessible platform for us, or I guess tool for us. But at the same time, are there protections we need to put into place for, you know, the people who are using it as a tool to make sure they have protection, that it's not going to bite them in the you know what later on down the road? Does that make sense what I'm asking?
It does. It does. I think there are a lot of risks with AI and you know, some of the big questions that still I don't think have been resolved yet are, you know, using data to train the AI. So, you know, if we're creating AI actors and actresses, for example, are they going to be trained on human performances? And who has, you know, do these AI companies have the rights to train their AI on these things? And so I think that's a big issue. You know, the impact of the technology itself, I think these technologies tend to democratize creation rather than, you know, replacing human creativity or human involvement in these processes. It tends to democratize it. And so, you know, there's no end of stories or music that can be created. So I don't see AI replacing humans so much, but certainly it will be disruptive. I think, you know, as you pointed out, maybe people that are there will be some certainly humans that are replaced by AI to some extent. I think that's inevitable. But the real future is collaboration with AI and use of AI as a tool rather than a replacement.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Brian McElwee, I want to thank you so much for weighing in on this conversation. And please come back to the show in future. I would love to keep picking your brain about AI. It's certainly not going anywhere anytime soon. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Again, Brian McElwee, who is an AI consultant and technology strategist. And by the way, Rhea, who is our intern this summer from UConn, nice job being on the air for the first time.
Thank you.
See, no AI generated there. She is literally a college student interning at WICC. And that wasn't that scary. You did it.
Yeah.
See, no AI generated needed. Absolutely.